Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3, Genesis chapter 3. On Christmas, we had a get-together. And at the end of the get-together, Emma had some games for us to play as a family for prizes, and I don't know if it was the first game, it wasn't the first game, one of the games, we all stood in a spot on the floor, and we taped a square around where we were standing, and then there was music played, and we marched in place. The thing was, when we were marching in place, we had to keep our eyes closed, and the game was, whoever was the closest to where they started won. And I'm like, wow, this is going to be easy. I'm like, I'm going to nail this. I'm going to be right there. Like, I don't even think I'm going to move one bit. And so I started marching. And 20 seconds into the marching, I hit the furniture. And that was 6 feet in front of me. And I'm like, who moved that, right? Somebody's messing with me. And so I marched back. And I kid you not, 20 seconds later, I run into Deb. And I'm like, man, she must be really off. The music ends. I open my eyes, and I am 10 feet away from where I'm started. I am the furthest one away from where I started. Darkness disorientates us. Having our eyes closed disorientates us. And I just remember Psalm 119, 105, right? Your word is a lamp unto my feet. And a light for my path. Man, I'm praying this year that we are in the Word of God like we have never been in the Word of God before. I am praying that it is a light for your path. Because if we do not have that, we're going to find ourselves 10 feet away from where we should be. On some other path that we shouldn't be on. Right? We challenge you every year, hey, read through the Bible. We've got a program, read through the Bible in a year. There are sheets back there. You can read through it by order of books. You can read through it chronologically. This year, I'm going to read through it chronologically, and I'm inviting every one of you to join me. It's only January 4th. You're only 4 days behind if you haven't started, right? You've got to read Genesis 1 through 11 and then Job 1 through 5 to catch up today. But there's sheets back there that talk about that. If you take me up on that challenge, if you do it by the end of the year, we'll give you a black shirt. We're going to redesign it this year and make it for everybody. Usually, we just give it to you the first time that you've read through your Bible. We've handed out over 40 shirts now. I want to hand out 100 this year. That's my goal. So I'm hoping there are 100 of you that will take up my challenge and read through. I kind of have this idea to match our preaching to what we're reading. And so if we're all reading the same thing, I think it'd be really cool, right? So that's my challenge for you, your New Year's challenge. There's sheets in the back. There's sheets on our website, willardnaz.org. You can grab that. There's different ways to do that. You don't have to do it chronologically. There's an option where you can read through the Bible in 90 days if you want to. I've seen people read through the Bible in a month. Whatever you want to do, whatever God leads you to, I just pray that we are in God's Word every day. Bring your kids along. If you need help finding a children's Bible that has the main stories that you can read to your child, that would be great. We'll give them t-shirts as well if they do that. I'll help you find that children's Bible or get you that for you. But it's so important for our kids to learn to be in God's Word. Genesis 3, would you stand in honor of God's Word? Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, that's the title of this, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I've commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, there is nobody here that wants to hear a guy behind this pulpit. Would you speak to us through your word this morning? We want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, you have right of way. May our eyes and ears be open to hear you. May our hearts be soft to receive you. Father, we love you and we give you all honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Today we live in a victim culture, right? A culture where everyone blames everyone else. It's not my fault. It's not because of my choices, right? It's because of these other people. It's because what this other person did to me. I just want you to realize that the same culture that we had back then was the same culture that we just saw as a result of this decision, of this fall. In verse 11, God asked Adam, "Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to?" What was his response? "Yes, I did eat from that tree. My bad, right? That was all on me." No, right? What was it? This woman that you put me here with, she gave me some of the fruit and I ate it. In other words, it's not my fault, it's your fault, God. You're the one who put her with me. She gave it to me. God then turns to the woman, "What did you do?" Verse 13, the serpent, it's not my fault. The serpent deceived me. And I ate, it's his fault. Right from the start, we can see that mankind is running from personal responsibility, right? That continues today. We see it left and right. I'm gonna blame somebody else because I don't want it to be my fault. So realize not only are other people going to live that way, but the desire, the inclination of your own heart is going to be to look to blame other people instead of taking responsibility for your actions to yourself, right? This account is so sad because of all that was lost. It's sad because you see shame comes as a result of this decision. It's sad because we were never meant to experience shame. Do you get that? The last verse right before this passage, Genesis 2:25, says this. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. I'm not there right now with that. I find it so interesting, though, that this is the last thing that the God of the universe wants us to realize, to know, before the account of the fall of man. He wants us to know that we were not created to have shame placed on us, to feel shame. Adam and Eve were naked together and they felt none of it. When you're reading the creation account, when you read about the fall, you start to understand the world better. You start to understand where we're at today. You understand that the world is now broken. Nobody denies that. We all see all the signs of that. But you also understand that the world is not as God intended it to be, right? We always want to blame God for the way the world is today, but we're the ones who rejected him. And there are consequences that came as a result of that rejection. And it wasn't just Adam and Eve, right? We too choose at times to reject God. And we shouldn't be surprised when those consequences come. I hope we appreciate the creation story because it just does explain everything. For instance, did you realize that there is one thing in this account, one thing that on this earth was created to be in the image of God? We learned that from the creation account. We learned that that one thing is mankind. There are many who don't even believe the angels were created in the image of God. And that makes sense because that's what you see the demonic forces attack in our world, right? Evolutionists would say, you weren't created in the image of God. You are just here by random chance. There is no purpose. There is no plan behind you. You're just here. So you really don't matter that much. Male and female, he created them. Of course the enemy attacks that identity. The enemy lies to our kids and tells them, you are born wrong. You are born in the wrong body. That's a lie. The more we study the creation account, the more obvious the enemy's attacks become. Abortion, right? That's not a life. It's just a clump of cells. No, it is a person created in the image of God, fashioned by God, in their mother's womb, right? Do you see the demonic forces at work in our world today and the effect that they have? Here's the thing I want you to realize, too. The moment that we go along with the enemy's lies, it's not like we join their team. It's not like they welcome us. The minute that we go along with those demonic encouragements, those things that we shouldn't do, what does the enemy do? The enemy comes and pours shame on us because that enemy hates us. That enemy does not want them to join them on their team. The enemy wants to kill us, wants to see us apart from God, the one force that is for us. Don't mistake that. When you read chapter 3 and see how Adam and Eve respond, all you can see is just brokenness and shame, and we see that continue today. And as a result, Jesus bore shame, right? The shame of the cross. How did he view that shame? Hebrews 12:2, he despised it. He scorned it. But for the joy set before him. What joy? The joy of seeing mankind reunited with him. He endured the cross. Do you see how Jesus looks at shame? I hope you realize that you were never meant to bear that. Never meant to experience that. And I hope you realize that the enemy is just going to attempt to put you in a position so that he can pour that on you. It will come. You'll have those moments, right? But you now have a new identity in Christ. There is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. Shame was defeated on that cross. Let me go back to the creation account. I want us to notice the very first question recorded. Notice who it comes from. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Does that sound familiar? It's the same question that points to each and every one of us, right? The enemy always comes to us with that question. Did God really say that? Does he really expect that of you? I can tell you that if you don't know what God says, you're going to fall for that, right? What chance do you have if you're not regularly in the Word to know what the Lord says? Here's the thing, though. Even Eve knew what God said, right? That means that you can grow up in the church, you can come to church, you can listen to a pastor, a Bible teacher, you can read your Bible, you can know what the Lord says and still fall to the enemy if you're not going to apply it. Eve responds to the serpent's question, verses 2 and 3, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. We can know what God's word says, right? But we have to be committed to living it out. Striving to align our lives to it. Do you know where that mainly happens? That alignment? It happens in prayer. That prayer is not just seeking God for things. Prayer is more about aligning our will to his will. That's the purpose of prayer. We get it wrong, right? What do you know that God has said that you're ignoring this morning? What have you read? What have you heard in the Word of God? But you're putting it off out here. Be careful, my friends. God told her not to eat it. God told him not to eat it. But notice how the enemy comes in verse 4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that if you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. This is what the enemy is telling a generation today. He wants us to question God's motives. That's the plan back then. That plan continues today. The enemy wants you to think that you're missing out on something when you follow what God has for you. That God is holding something back from you. Oh, if you eat it, you'll be like God, and he doesn't want that, right? Get this. The enemy is tempting Eve with being like God at a time when she and her husband are the most like God that any human being has ever been. Right? Oh, you can be like God. No, my friend, you were already created in the image of God. There is no sin at this point, right? You are the most like God that we could ever hope to be on this earth. And she trades that. She believes the enemy's lie. My friends, God always has our best in mind for us, but the enemy always wants to get us to question that. Question his character. Question his motives. Oh, if you only had this, you'd be full. Then life would be good. If you just had a little bit more money, I've thought that, been there. If you just had this person in your life, this spouse, this girlfriend, this boyfriend, then you'd be complete. Did God really say to avoid this? He's just trying to prevent you from being happy. Right? That's the enemy. Man, after all, you deserve that. We must realize that the enemy hates us and wants us to give up what we already have, the best of God, for some substitute that only ends in brokenness and death. That's the play. That's the game. How can I market this crap so that these people buy into it and trade what they have for it? You got to know his game. You got to be aware of it. You got to test it against the Word of God. I wonder how many of us are grappling with this issue today, this question today. Did God really say that? Does God really want what's best for me because it doesn't feel like it? Because this thing really looks good, right? And I really think that I would be a lot happier with it. It looks pleasing. And then we blame God when it blows up and the shame comes. Some of us get our identity from victimhood. Can I say that again? Some of us get our identity from victimhood. Poor me. I'm a victim. I am this way because of this spouse you put into my life. I am this way because of the way these people treat me. Some of us, that's where we get it. That's where we get our identity. Instead of what the Word of God says about us, right? Don't you dare. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us. That's an amazing verse. Is that your identity? Created by God, not a mistake. created by the God of the universe, not by random, but with a purpose. Not to just roam this earth aimlessly, living paycheck to paycheck, living weekend to weekend, but created with a purpose to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Is that your identity? Is that where you find significance? Keep reading in Genesis, and you come to the story of a young man that's sold by his brothers into slavery. Do you remember that story? He becomes a slave. While he's a slave, he's doing well. He's doing what his masters want, right? And then there's an accusation against him. They believe that accusation that is totally untrue, and he's thrown into prison. But he finds himself in a place of power. And one day, those same brothers that sold him into slavery are now bowing down before him. And does he make sure that they get what's coming to them? Does he find his identity in victimhood? No. He finds his identity in God's plan and purpose for his life. Right? And that's bigger than what people did to him, than what his family did to him. Right? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I wonder how many things we are not participating in because we're stuck in victimhood. Poor me. Man, if you play the victim, make that verse your own. Right? You meant this for evil, but God intended it for something amazing. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. You're not a victim. I am a creation of God with a plan and a purpose for my life. Amen. Do you think that some other person in here can get away, get you off of what God has for you, can get in the way of what God has for you? Do you think that's even possible? It's only possible if you allow it, if you stay that victim. Back to the account, Adam and Eve eat the fruit, and what do? They try to cover it up themselves with leaves. That's what shame does. It tells you that there's something wrong with you. That is what the enemy pours on people. There's something wrong with you. When you experience that, recognize it. That is from the enemy, right? And you got to cover that thing up, because if you don't, everybody else is going to realize that. What do? You hide as a result of that. You blame others. This is often where God comes to you with his own questions. Verse 9. Where are you? That's what he asks. Where are you? They were created to walk face to face with God. That is what we were created for. That is the kind of relationship that we were created for, right? But they traded it for a lie, and now they're hiding from him. Where are you? He didn't ask him because he didn't know. He asked them because he wanted them to realize where they were at. He asked the same thing to us. Where are you? He wants you to realize how far out of that square you are. Wants us to come to that realization. Where is the you that I created you to be? Where is the person that I poured my potential into, my plan and my purposes into? Where are you? Because I have things for you to do, but you're off there in the darkness. You're off there hiding. Because you're trading what I have for you for garbage. Where are you? Where is the you that was created in my very image? Where are you? Adam responds, verse 10, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. We all probably have said that in one way or another. Had this conversation with God, where are you? I was afraid because of the shame, so I had to hide. I had to get away from you. I remember when I was covered in shame and the last thing I wanted to do was come to church. But that's when the church came to me and embraced me, right? Now's not the time to hide. When you feel that shame, is not the time to hide. When you feel that shame, it is the time to enter into his presence through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. We've been given full access to enter the throne room of God. Not just enter it, but the word says boldly to come. Through the blood, through the work of Jesus, but we're still hiding, we're still fearful, right? We're still ashamed when we could be covered by his righteousness. Where are you, my friends? Look at God's follow-up question, verse 11. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Right? I read this and I see the heartbreak of God in it. Who told you? Who told you you were not good enough? Who told you that you were the wrong person, the wrong sex, right? Who told you that you were trash? Who told you that you would never amount to anything? Who told you that you were ugly? Who told you to run and hide from me? That is an insanely sad question because God is asking, whose voice are you elevating over mine? Whose voice are you listening to more than you're listening to me? Why would you listen to the one who hates you? Why would we ever even entertain that voice? Let me ask you, whose truth have you placed above the Word of God? Whose truth do you listen to more? A pastor's? A TikTok, Facebook, YouTube person? Your own? Whose voice do you listen over the voice of God? What is scary is that our kids now have access to thousands of voices coming into their heads through these little devices that we give them. Thousands of voices, millions of voices. Do you realize the scary potential there? We're giving it to our kids. We're giving them access to hear all those other voices, and it drowns out the voice of God. The enemy is bombarding us. The enemy is bombarding our kids nonstop with messages that run contrary to the Word of God. And we wonder why our kids are confused when it comes to their image, their gender, their worth. We wonder why our kids are committing suicide at a higher rate. We wonder why anxiety is exploding, right? It's because we're giving on them all these voices that speak contrary to the Word of God. The word of peace, the word of hope, the truth. They don't hear that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. They don't hear that they have been made in the very image of God with a plan and a purpose for their life. We must be that voice that shares it with them as their parents, as their grandparents, as their church. That is a calling upon us. Who told you there was no hope in your situation? Who told you that you were a mistake? Tell your kids that God made them. Tell them that when they're young. Tell them that when they're teenagers, right? Tell them that they were created with purpose. Tell them that God has a plan and a purpose and things for them to do. Tell yourself, I am a born-again man of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, commissioned to do good things. You can insert woman in there. The enemy will come throughout your whole life and he will accuse you. He will speak lies over you. And you have to be in his word in order to recognize those things. And it starts with the creation account. You have to be in his word so you can call him a liar. You have to be in his words for when he says those things, you can say, no, this is what my heavenly Father says about me, right? I'm his child. He told me he would never leave me nor forsake me. He told me that he is for me, not against me. What has he told you? You have to be in his word, my friends. The enemy will always come to you with questions, to you, to your kids. Did God really say that? And the greatest thing that you can do is to really know what God said. That's my challenge. Stand with me. I'm challenging you to be in his word every day. I'm challenging you to elevate his word over every other voice in your life. There are tons of voices. There are thousands of voices. I'm challenging you to elevate this over this. There's Bibles in the back that are free to take. I'd love if you took a bunch of them and gave them out. Take one for yourself. There's sheets in the back that can help you read through the Bible in a year. I'd love for you to take one of those and join me in reading through the Bible chronologically this year. Let me end with the same question that God asked. Where are you? Where did you go? Did you get off track? Now's the time to make that right. Now's the time to reach out to him and say, Father, forgive me. I've gotten off, but I want to come back to you. And I'm going to vow to be in your word and let it be a light unto my path every day. I'm going to not just read it, but I'm going to vow to align my life to it. Will you take that on? Will you take that challenge on today? Will you make it happen? Dial down the other voices, right? Dial down especially the voices that you know you shouldn't be looking at, that you shouldn't be listening to, that show that you're watching that is garbage, that has that filth in it, that music that you're listening to, that it runs contrary to the word of God. Can we quit pretending that it doesn't? Can we quit pretending? Can we just be honest right now? And say, if we really believed this was the word of God, we'd be in it. Can we just be honest with that? Right? If this really were the words of God, wouldn't we be in it every day? Wouldn't we be looking to align our lives to it? Either we don't believe this, or we're lazy, or we need slapped upside the head or something, right? Can we just be honest with that? I mean, what if these are the words of God, the secrets to life, the secrets to eternal life, wouldn't we be in it every day? Wouldn't we strive to align it? Haven't we felt enough shame? Haven't we experienced enough brokenness? Right? Be in this. Jody had a word for her year this year. My word is intimacy. That's my word. I want to be intimate with my wife in every way. I want to be closer to my kids than I've ever been this year. And I want to be intimate with God. That's my word. That won't just happen. You have to cultivate something like that. And I pray you do too. I pray God gives you a word. But I pray you make the decision on this very day that every day I will be in his word and align my life to it. Amen? There's sheets in the back. There's sheets online. Email me. Whatever you have to do. Get in his word. Steal a Bible in the back. Take one to your friend. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, let your word be a light unto our path. Father, we've been stumbling around. We've been getting off track, Lord. But let that change today. Let us make a vow and let us not enter that into lightly. Let us make a vow, though, to seek you, to draw near to you. Let us experience you. Father, there's people in here that don't know you, that are wondering if this thing is all baloney, is all garbage. Father, would you remind them that you said that if they seek you with all their heart, they will find you. That is the way that you will be proved to them. Let us all do that. Let us all find you. Let us all be found by you, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's somebody covered in shame today, Lord, would you take it away? Would you remind them that you died on the cross so that shame could be removed? That they can take that into your presence? That they can bring that to your very feet and lay that down? Would you remind them that they were made in your image? Would you remind them there is a plan and purpose? Would you help us to seek that out and find that and find our worth in that? Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen.